Huntsville Group of NA. Woo! Woo! Woo!
I'm Leah, I'm an addict.
Hey, Maria.
Woo! I moved because I was blowing in my face. So my clean date is July 16th of 2014. We just celebrated 9 years clean. Woo! Yeah. And it's funny because on the way up here, I was saying to the person I was around with, I was like, look, there's cows and shit over there, right? And then we get down here to hear Tosh speaking, there was a cardboard box podium, and I was like, oh shit, I might be right at home. So, needless to say, we don't do much in the woods, right? But what I need to say is that, like, I'm right where I'm supposed to be. Because I get up here and there's some people up here who are extremely significant for me who we don't cross paths often anymore, right? But like, I got to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous at 19 years old. I was a scared ass little girl. This was in 2009. And I ain't know how to do shit but lay my hands on people and commit burglaries. Like, I ain't know how to do shit. I'm not kidding when I tell you. Like, people gripped me up. I showed up at a meeting after getting kicked out of treatment for fighting in their bathroom. I get to the meeting and I'm like, they kicked me out and I need help, right? And there were some people who culturally we were one and the same. Same story, same pattern, same everything. Man, they was meant for me. So they gripped me up and we played a lot of spades and we drank a lot of coffee. We camped. I fucking hated camping. I won't do it again. But we went camping. They had me hug at the door even though I didn't want to touch you, right? Because I don't come from an environment of intimacy. We don't do physical touch. It's an area I struggle in. So they made me hug at the door. And I remember saying, like, why would I want to do that, right? And what they hit me with was, you ain't got to fucking want to. And I'm sorry, there's kids here. But that's what they hit me with, right? So, like, I did it anyway. Because I'm talking about sheer desperation where, like, there was nowhere left for me to go. At 19 years old, there was nowhere left for me to go. People weren't inviting me in anywhere. I was kicked out of most places. I mean, I'm talking about acting a fool in quite a few meetings where y'all probably should have escorted me out, right? Didn't know how to do shit, man. I remember moving along on my own and was scared to call and pay a bill. And the women in my life called and they paid the bill and they taught me how to pay the bill, right? They took me to banks and taught me how to open a bank account. Like, when I tell you I was a little girl, I was a child. So, I'm a little emotional about being asked to do the women's rap, right? Because I was talking to some predecessors before this who I respect, and I was saying, like, it's different for me to say I'm a woman in recovery. Because I came here as a girl, right? I got taught by a gentleman that ladies don't cuss. I mean, people taught me some things, but I was a little girl. And so the transition that takes place over and over and over again within this fellowship, right? And the things that I change into, like, I got 9 years clean. You might be a predecessor, Reed. I'm like, shut the fuck up. You might be a woman now, right? Like, it was a big deal for me to be called a young lady. I was like, oh shit, he called me a young lady. Yeah. Right? Because I got here and I really wanted to be these things, Jolie. I used to see women who were graceful and were tactful and I really liked those words and I wanted to be them. You were attractive for me. Because I came in here and I was culturally different and I was rough around the edges and I really ain't know how to communicate, right? I didn't know how to be loved on. I didn't know how to allow you to love me. And I was fucking difficult. Yeah. I was difficult, you can attest. So we stayed around for a little while and we did some things, right? Like, I did service and I did step work and I fathomed what I could in that time. But I'm going to remind you that I was like 19, 20, 21 years old, right? And things were taking place in my life. I celebrated my 21st birthday in Narcotics Anonymous. There wasn't a desire to drink. So I acquired some things, right? We become employable here. We become productive members of society here. Listen, I remember people talking about that shit in a meeting, right? If we talk about a productive member of society, I'd be like, why the fuck would I want to be that? Like, no part of that is attractive to me when I can boot your door and then probably make what you're making in a week, right? Like, I really thought I was some shit. So, I started to become attracted to things that I didn't think I wanted, right? That I didn't think I was ever going to accumulate. We became employable here. We become productive here. We become responsible here. Let me stop saying we and say I. Because that's what the fuck happened for me. Mm. Right? Then I also became arrogant here. And I forgot where I came from. And I remember my sponsor calling me and saying, like, you're going to go to a meeting because I'm working two jobs, right? And I'm in a field where I can retire by 40 and, like, have my life set. And these things are attractive. And, like, you got it going on, babe. You're moving into your own home. These are things you've never done, right? Probably totally fear-based, but so arrogant I couldn't see it.
Same.
Right? Because the disease knows how to, like, mask some shit. So I remember my sponsor calling me and saying, like, you're going to get to a meeting anytime soon? And me responding with, that's not a fucking priority right now. So you can imagine where I ended up. So I used with 4.5 years clean. And you want to talk about detrimental. Detrimental to everyone around me. Detrimental to me. See, because ignorance is bliss, but, like, once I know, I can't not know, right? Yeah. So, like, at 19 years old, I didn't know how good life could become for me. I didn't come here with shit. So there was nothing to lose because I didn't come with anything. But the moment I used, like, I come back and I realized, like, I didn't know I had a spirit till that motherfucker was gone. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I had morals till they were gone. I didn't know I had self-respect until it was gone, right? Yeah. And after having 4 years clean, I'm in my home getting my ass whooped every day. So I'm in a domestic partnership. I'm lying about my clean date, but everybody knows the truth anyway, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I'm totaling cores. I got my sponsor coming to pick me up. I got people asking me left and right, are you okay? Yes, I'm fine. And then my sponsor texted me on my clean date, wishing me a happy anniversary, knowing I didn't have one. Mm-hmm. Right? Because what I describe it as is like, you were my lifesaver, right? Like, there were people around who weren't going to let me stray too far. They knew what was going on, but they weren't willing to let me go. Mm-hmm. Baby, we're going to do our best to keep you attached. Mm-hmm. So after using for about 6 months and destroying my life and losing everything, I'm talking back to a garbage bag, mm-hmm. nowhere to go, mm-hmm. living in an attic in Wilkinsburg with abscesses all over me. Mm-hmm. Totally fucking humiliated. So I'm in the bedroom and I'm contemplating fucking killing myself, right? Because it is different, right? It's a different ass whooping once you stay here and you actually do some work and you make a decision to use. Mm-hmm. It is. So a newcomer calls me and said, Rhea, I need your help. And it was the first person I got honest with finally and said, baby, like, I'm not in a position to help you, I use. And so I get evicted. I'm living out these garbage bags. I go to a meeting with two black eyes, nowhere left to go, and pick up a 24-hour key tag in front of women I help get clean. Because what I need you to know about my story is treatment is my niche. That's typically where I work, right? So I show up in the meeting, and they hug me. They hug me, and they said, it's okay, Miss Rhea, it's just our turn. I was taught very early on, be nice to the newcomer. You never know who your sponsor is going to be, and thank God I was. Because contrary to what I appear as, right? Like, I really am loving and caring and, like, I got you. You just got to give me a shot, right? Yeah. Like, I appear a little hard. Just give me a shot. You might find out. So, we pick up this 24-hour key tag, and I go into a three-quarter house of a woman who didn't ask any questions, right? Because, like, I was being judged left and right. What I need you to know as a part of my story is I have a mother in Narcotics Anonymous. And so throughout this experience, it was very important for me to have my own identity. I was tired of being referred to as Kathy's daughter. Yeah, mm-hmm. Rhea, you're going to know who I am. Mm-hmm. And she got harmed. She got harmed because what people believed was happening, mm-hmm. they decided to take to her mm-hmm. instead of asking me if I needed help. Mm-hmm. You create harm when you do that. Mm-hmm. Here to tell you. Mm-hmm. So she's devastated. I had predecessors that were a little brutal, right? Look at what she did to her mother. Thank God I had a backbone, mm-hmm. right? I also had a predecessor who was a male tell me, go somewhere you can be new, mm-hmm. right? So that's what I did. until I went to the other fellowship and I went some other places where nobody thought they knew what the fuck happened. Because I needed to get some help. So for about 4 months, man, I just cried. Like I would sit in meetings and I would cry. And I would sit on my hands and I would do the things you told me to do. And I can't really describe it as anything other than I felt like my head was spinning. Like I couldn't figure out what happened, right? I couldn't figure out where I made a decision to use and when this shit went left. I couldn't figure it out, right? So then it got to a place of like, fuck figuring it out. Let's get better, right? Because I used to stand on like, I got to know the problem in order to apply the solution. And no, the fuck you don't, Rhea. Yeah,
right.
Stop looking for the problem and just apply the solution.
Right.
And I'm saying that to say it's very significant in my life now, right? Because after you relapse and you come back, it is brutal. It's brutal. It is not like the first time around.
Nope.
That shit is a gift. There was a lot handed to me, right? There was a lot of grace. There was a lot of mercy. There were a lot of things that went on that this shit ran a little smooth. Get your ass whooped and come back. Because it's not a joke, man. And I sat in meetings and I cried. And I reached out to people who had used. And I asked them, like, when am I going to be excited again, right? Like, when am I going to be on fire again about Narcotics Anonymous? When is this shit going to get exciting? I had a gentleman tell me it took 2 years for the band to start playing again. And I'm like, fuck, I'm 4 months in. I don't know that I can do 2 years of this shit. But I did what you told me to do anyway, right? Like, all that stuff you told me in the beginning. Here's the thing. It's like, y'all were instilling a foundation for me that I didn't know was happening. I'm talking about for me because the people around me put in a lot of work. I will never discredit that. I'm not saying I didn't do my part, but I was a child. The women around me and the men around me really did instill some shit in me that I didn't know was happening for me. I was naive to the game. Real naive to the game. So when I came back, there was some stuff in play, man. Like y'all set up for me. The slogans that you threw out there that I just thought you were talking, trying to sound slick, like they work. They work. I was like, what? I thought, you know what I mean? Because for real, y'all, like I got here and I really thought like y'all just lost your hustle and you were squares and maybe didn't know how to use, you know, like I didn't know. Look, there were people from my neighborhood that I thought were dead, right? That there was a level of respect for, they took care of me on the street. And when I got here, they were here, right? And they were laughing and shit, and they were doing some things, and I bought into them, right? Like, I rely on a group often, often. The group is for me. I will come here and I will pour some stuff that maybe some people may not think is appropriate. But since we're talking about the women's rap, let me talk about what's going on. So for the last week, right, because there's really been a transformation that's taken place for me in the last 3 years, and I might jump around a little bit, but I get excited. So in the last 3 years, man, like I had a significant situation happen, right? With 5 years clean, I got in a relationship and got my ass whooped. And I'm going to work with a bloody lip, covering it up, and I can't live like this clean, right? It was different doing it using. I ain't feel it. Clean? I fucking refused to walk around like that. So I did what was necessary. After being strangled in the middle of the night, don't think I just did it over the lip. We endorsed some pain. Here's what happens is every time I get into something, it's self-abandonment over and over and over again, right? I abandon Rhea every time I choose to get in a relationship. That's what I do. That is my pattern. I lose me, I invest in you, and I think this shit is gonna work. Because somewhere in me just wants to be loved.
Right?
And so I was like, is this a mommy issue? Is this a daddy issue? Here we go again. It doesn't matter where the issue came from, Rhea. The acknowledgement is that you don't like yourself. There's no way. There's no way you like yourself, let alone love yourself, if this is what you continue to do. Right? That's a harsh realization. Like, I'm saying it up here now like it ain't that heavy, but in the moment, baby. Oh, my God. It was a blow to the chest when that shit clicked for me. So in the last 3 years, it's really been a movement of like asking people, how'd you learn how to love yourself? What do you do to like yourself, right? Because I'm tired of doing this over and over and over again. And I don't, look, with 5 years clean, ain't no shame in my game. I'm gonna come here and I'm gonna tell you, I'm not exempt. I'm not exempt. So I was asking predecessors, like anybody, for Christ's sake, how did you learn how to love yourself? So they told me do esteemable things, right? Bree, how do you treat people? Bree, how do you talk to yourself, right? It was important for me to learn how to talk to myself, right? Because you love me, but I'm brutal with me. So as this is going on, man, like, look, I'm experiencing some PTSD stuff, right? I'm hearing shit that's not there. I'm seeing shit that's not there. This is what 6 years clean, man. I can't sleep in my own bed. I got a go bag in the car, right? And I'm telling people this. Like, I called my sponsor and said, I got a go bag in the trunk. I got to move from this thing. I said, I got a go bag in the trunk. She said, that's really fucking sad. So it took you to say to me, like, this ain't normal, Ree.
Yeah.
This ain't okay, Ree. I'm jumping when car doors are slamming and shit. I'm losing my mind. I'm totally fear-based 24/7. So then I called my mother. Because here's the hit. As I kept looking for mom throughout this process, and I'm not going to share her story, I'm going to just share mine. But I kept looking for mom throughout this process. And if you have a parent in recovery, you might relate to what I'm saying. If you don't, you may not. But it's difficult. The moment I stopped looking for mom and started looking for Kathy, the recovering addict, our relationship improved. It was a game changer, man. Like, I get mom from other people. I get dad from other people. I get what I need from y'all. Again, I rely on a group. There's a lot of people that pour into me, man. I don't have a void. There's nothing missing. So I call her, and I'm in the fetal position in my living room because I don't want to live in my house because I am hearing and seeing things that are not there. I'm not sleeping in my fucking bed. I'm sleeping on the couch by the door in case I got to exit. Dude's in jail. He ain't around. Totally fear-based. So she says, what's your relationship with God like? I said, it's non-existent. And it was the hit, right? Like, I needed immediate relief. There were other things being suggested that no doubt would have worked, right? But, like, I needed something now because I can't stay like this. Tapping into God changed this for me, right? A spiritual connection. Applying spiritual principles. All those things changed this for me. Like, I'm not scared. Deb, I sleep in my fucking bed. It don't sound heavy. But be scared in your own home. The home I own. I can't fucking move. And sleep in your living room on the couch because you can't sleep in your bed because you are waking up seeing things that are not there. It was absolute fucking hell. So then we go through the whole process of the victim work, right? Because I'm going to court and I'm doing the things that you say to do because I did this correctly this time, right? And I'm walking through every moment I'm scared of. And I'm breaking down in tears in the middle of the courthouse, right? And I feel fucking weak. And I got these domestic relations people referring to me as the victim, right? I don't like that word.
Yeah.
So what I learned in that experience is really start watching how you talk to yourself. Right? Persevere. I learned perseverance through that. I didn't persevere well prior to this. I need you to know that. As much as, like, oh, we got a high tolerance for pain, I don't persevere well. We learned how to do that. Like, I'm talking about the stuff that was thrown around that I didn't even know the fucking definition of. We learned it. We learned it. We experienced it. And so I had to change the way I was speaking to me, right? Instead of saying, like, you're weak, maybe you were sensible, right? Maybe that's what happened. Look, man. So I walk through this whole thing, and I'm tapping into God, and I'm tapping into you, and I'm walking through it even though I'm scared, and all this shit goes on. And this was 3 years of shit, right? Like, they kept postponing. He picked a jury trial over a strangulation. You know what that was about. That was the fuck with me. So as we're going through this, like, there really is a change taking place. When I ended up in a fetal position in my own home with 6 years clean, something happened there, right? And I don't really know what that something was. Call it what you want. Spiritual awakening. I don't care what you call it. I don't really care to put a name on shit anymore, but something took place there. And in that, I have grown tremendously. Like, there's something that occurred, always in pain for me, right? Like, when I relapsed, I experienced everything I judged you on. I'm here to tell you. Everything I judged you on, I got. And when this happened, and I'm coming to the group back in a fetal position, and I'm crying in the room, and I'm like, hey, these motherfuckers are probably sick of me, right? She's always getting her ass whooped. You know, something changed for me, man. And I learned to apply more grace to you, right? And there was some understanding that I learned how to apply. I turned into a whole different person. Sometimes I'm like, who the fuck are you? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Like when stuff comes out of my mouth, I'm like, where? And I believe it. Yeah. Like here's the hit is I used to talk about some superficial stuff, right? Yeah. I could get up here and talk about your God. I could get up here and talk about the things you believed in. But Rhea, what do you believe? The second step is my favorite step. Because I got taught, Rhea, if what you believe doesn't make a difference in your life, then it doesn't make a difference what you believe. The second step is a hit for me, man. Mm. And often I have to revise my belief system because this shit ain't working for me anymore. Mm. I mean, these are the conversations I gotta have with myself. Yeah. Baby, are you sure that's what you believe? Yeah. But it sort of hit me with the baby. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Come on, baby. Yeah. We gonna do this, babe. Because I'm serious, man. I'll talk to me crazy. We get the fuck up, boots on the floor. No. Yeah. Like, come on, man. I could love you and I can't talk to me, right? That don't even make sense. Mm-hmm. I was big on loyalty, right? Mm-hmm. I'm loyal as hell, right? We wore that as a badge of honor. I got that shit tattooed on me. Mm-hmm. But what I found out, what dawned on me was, how am I loyal to you and I continue to abandon me? Mm-hmm. How'd that fucking work? Mm-hmm. Be loyal to you, Ree. Mm-hmm. Love you, Ree. So all week I've struggled with, let me tell y'all a story. I'm sorry. So about a year ago, I chose to partake in a business partnership, right? We're women, so I'm going to tell the truth. Mm. I chose to partake in a business partnership that's also known as tricking. With a gentleman who came at me with a couple dollars, who's a predecessor in this program, mm-hmm. took me on a couple trips, but he's fucking married. Mm-hmm. They're separated, right? Mm-hmm. So I choose to partake in this thing because I'm like, you know, it's your way into dating, right? The disease painted mm-hmm. a nice picture. Yeah. Yeah. You're broken. You don't have to be emotionally available. This is a way to get your feet wet, yeah. right? So I'm participating in this thing. And the one day he's at my house and I start to become very ugly, right? I kick back into like, bitch, yeah. right? Can't call no grown man no bitch. Man. Well, we kick into that and we send them home, right? And I wanted to say, like, I'm on the phone and I'm like, yeah, he's ugly, man. He's self-centered. He's this, he's mm-hmm. that. And then I was like, no, the fuck he's not. Mm-hmm. What you're participating in is ugly. Mm-hmm. That's why you've become this way. Mm-hmm. Because your spirit is fighting against what you're choosing to do, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. But the disease will tell me fair exchange ain't no robbery. But I'm killing my spirit on a fucking payment plan. But we caught it. Like, listen, man, typically I will dive into that shit and we will ride out for a couple years. Right. I'm not suggesting you do it. I'm talking about me. Yes, this is what 8 years clean. Yeah. If you ain't tried, if you ain't, you haven't made any mistakes, I'm so happy for you. But I'm here to tell you I did, right? I did. Mm-hmm. And I realized in a moment that, like, that's what's happening here. Yep. Mm. It's time to stop, babe. Mm-hmm. It's time to stop. Before you totally abandon you again, mm-hmm. right? Because we weren't all the way in. Like, I didn't totally lose me yet. Mm. So what I've seen in that is you have grown, mm. right? Because another area the disease will hit me with is all or nothing. Yeah. You fucked up. It's all or nothing. Yeah. So because you went in, you still ain't grown. You still didn't heal, Ree. Yeah. You haven't grown at all. You haven't learned a lesson. Man, fuck that. That shit's a lie. Mm-hmm. It's a lie. I absolutely did. Which is why we didn't stay there. And mm-hmm. he had to go. And he still tries to come back mm-hmm. in. And he still ain't here. Because mm-hmm. I can't do it, man. I can't do it to me. I can't do it to me. There's really... Listen, y'all. Like, I'm trying to tell you. Mm-hmm. To be referred to as a woman is an honor. Mm-hmm. For real. It's an honor. I got women sitting here who I really have valued. So in the last week, I've really struggled with some stuff, right? All week, I slid into, like, I don't want to call it self-hatred, but we're going to say dislike, right? Mm-hmm. Because the disease knows my assets and my liabilities. The disease mm-hmm. also knows what I've worked on, what I haven't, where I'm weak at, where I'm not, right? Mm-hmm. And so it slid in. and it slid in where it could. Because in the last 3 years, I've lost 130 pounds, right? Mm-hmm. So it slid into, you don't like you physically, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not enough. You're not mm-hmm. enough. And it played on me all week, right? And so I'm sharing with somebody, like, there's a disconnect going on. There's a dis-ease, right? There's something going on in here. I don't really know what that something is. And we back to it again. Like, baby, you don't got to know what it is. Mm-hmm. Do the shit that makes you feel good. Yeah. Right? Yeah. So every day after work, I committed in 90 fucking degree weather. You will walk every day. Mm-hmm. And we was out there sweating, shiny glazed donut face. Yes, we were for 45 minutes every day because you're going to do some shit to help yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, we could sit here and we could cry about it, or you going to get up and you're going to help yourself. Yeah. So prior to coming here, I asked probably 12 people, what's my fupa look like? Swear, because I'm going to tell the truth.
Yep.
That's right. I absolutely did. Mm-hmm. Called people on FaceTime. How's this fupa doing? Is this appropriate to go outside like this, right?
Yeah.
Then I was like, motherfucker, you lost 130 pounds.
Yeah.
You better walk around with the fupa out.
God,
like, right. Wear the shirt, babe. Walk the fupa. Do what you got to do, right? Because if you don't like it, don't fucking look.
Yeah.
But it was like I gotta say that shit to me. You know what I mean? Because I really will struggle, and the disease will have me in a chokehold somewhere.
Right.
It really will. I won't show up to speak based off of the fupa.
Right.
Yep.
I'm sick, you know? Like, that's what this shit will tell me. And then I won't speak, and it'll sign into you wasn't good enough anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's a lie, man. It's a lie. And I do a lot of things to help myself, and I do a lot of things to keep this thing going. I had to remind myself the other day, right? Because I'm not here to lie, right? Like, sometimes this shit will have me in an emotional state. Mm. And so I showed up at a friend's house because that's what I do, and I need you to know my life is Narcotics Anonymous. Like, I got friends from here that I've been friends longer with than the people I grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
My right hand came up here with me. We've been friends for 15 years. This shit ain't ruffled.
Mm.
I met her in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm talking about through relapses, through PFAs, mm-hmm. through overnight course, through all that shit, baby. We doing this, right? So, like, you've taught me how to be a friend.
Mm-hmm.
In the last few years, it was important for me to invest in my relationships. Because what I've learned is I used to say I'm a bad friend, remember? And my sponsor said, no, you're not. No, you're not. But what I've learned is I'm a distant friend.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
There's times I check out,
yep.
right?
Mm-hmm.
For me.
Yep.
And it got nothing to do with you. And I'm not talking about isolation. There's a difference.
Mm.
But I do check out. And so I was like, you know what? Like, I need to invest in my relationships. I need to invest in my relationship with my nieces. The children are important to me.
Mm-hmm.
I need to invest in my relationships with my friends. I need to call my fucking sponsor because I don't call her. And I just said that. I'm sorry. I'm disconnected.
Mm.
She knows me, though. You know what I'm saying? What works for me might not work for you. I don't suggest doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you what I do. Invest in your relationship with your siblings. They're the hardest relationships for me, man.
Mm-hmm.
I got a twin brother who I found blue in the middle of the night. He made it through, right? But when I tell you, like, I love this boy, I love this boy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do a lot of things to enable him.
Mm-hmm.
But he also is my biggest struggle.
Yeah.
It is so difficult with expectations with my sibling. And even if they're realistic, it doesn't fucking matter. It's still an expectation, right? What it does is set you up every fucking time. And I can laugh now, but I've really been in pain over that. I've really resented them over those things, right? And so I was like, you need to apply some understanding. You need to meet people where they are. Like, that's what the last few years been about for me, right? Really invest in some shit, really apply some grace to some people, like, that what you would want in return. Let them be where they are. Just invest in them, babe. And there's some who didn't make the cut, right? So, like, if you're not bringing nothing to the table, you got to go.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not good for my spirit, you're dismissed.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't feel bad about that shit.
Nope.
Once we revisit this issue over and over and over again, and you are toxic for me,
yeah.
you got to go. I love you. Ain't no malice. When I see you, I will hug you. But I can't have you in my day-to-day life.
Yeah.
I cannot. What I really pay attention to the energy that's around me.
Mm-hmm.
There are spirit suckers out here and you will fucking kill me.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it. I also have flourished in my position, and I need y'all to know that. Like, I became a manager in a drug and alcohol facility. Like,
yeah.
I'm part of fucking leadership, man. I make decisions that are good for the group. I make sound decisions. Mm. They value me. They value me at an administrative level. Do you fucking believe that?
Yeah.
Culturally, I'm the only one like me. Yeah. Right? Yeah. But they like me, man.
Yeah.
What also was important for me was that gave us a voice.
Mm.
I ain't never been in a position for somebody to fucking hear me. Mm. Come on, Joel. Mm-hmm. I gave us a voice. I'm able to speak at an administrative level for us.
Mm.
Come on. There's beautiful things happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep myself in check often because I told you arrogance was a killer for me. So, bro, I listen. I get things like gut checks, right, that I believe are from God.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what your beliefs are. I'm telling you mine. I get gut checks that I believe are from God, and things will happen that fucking humble me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I pay attention. You could not pay attention. You could be totally self-centered and not even see them coming.
Mm.
But we've grown here.
Mm-hmm.
So I get gut checks, man, that humble me and bring me back down a little bit so that I stay in a position of, like, humility and vulnerability. Look, when I was getting ready to come up here, I said, I'm nervous. I was like, but look, when I'm nervous, I know I'm getting ready to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And we like vulnerability.
Yes.
I ain't never liked that shit in my life. You were not getting ready to see who I really was.
Mm-hmm.
I love vulnerability because I know I'm getting ready to grow there, right? Mm-hmm. Guess what my sponsor said? Vulnerability is her superpower.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, my girl. You know, like, look, man, when I tell y'all this was so good for my spirit coming up here,
mm-hmm.
I got somebody sitting here who was my roommate at 18 years old in an institution. I was a fucking baby. I'm 33 years old, man.
Mm-hmm.
And we both made it here.
Mm-hmm.
When I see her, it's comforting for me. I still feel like a small fish in a very big pond.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to tell you, I may not appear that way on the outside, but I get around some of these women and I still feel like a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I embrace that shit because we heal her.
Mm-hmm.
We start to hear, we heal her. Through this process, I really have taken care of the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned to, like, take her along with me, put her on my leg, you know, all that
mm-hmm.
shit. Like I did, man. I let her know I got her. After you abandon you time and time again, you got to reassure. I had to reassure Rhea that we got you.
Mm.
We got you, babe. That's why that ass got dismissed. We talking about the predecessor.
Yep.
That's why he had to go.
Yeah. Because
we got you.
Yeah.
So check it out. I'm grateful to be here. To the newcomer, please just stay.
Mm-hmm.
If just stay, man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if you don't do shit else in the beginning. Just stay here.
Mm-hmm.
I played spades, I drank coffee, and I held on to their coattails.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I did. Just don't take nothing and stay.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Maria. I'm happy.
I have huge bumps. That's God bumps.
Thank you so much, Rhea. I'd like to introduce our next speaker, Sierra, from the Primary Purpose Group.
My girl.
Woo-hoo!
Oh, my God. You know, my own nerves, I'm Sierra and I'm an addict.
Hi, Sierra.
My own nerves were like, oh, you know, I've never heard, Rhea speak, so I was like, let her go first, and then, you know, I'm sitting there battling myself, like, oh, she's good.
How am I gonna follow that?
No, but it's not about that. It's not about that. Because, just because, like, all of our stories are, like, different, like, they're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, like, probably the biggest thing that I've come to recognize, like, pain is pain,
mm-hmm.
and love is love, regardless mm-hmm. of, like, you know, where we come from.
Right.
And I didn't realize how many people were here. Because I was sitting kind of towards the front and I just turned around and I'm like, fuck me. I can't. When I was initially asked to speak, because it is an honor to speak, I was like, you're kidding. Like, I literally thought he was kidding. Because he also happened to ask my significant other to speak for the men's rep, so I thought he was just, like, shitting me. And I was like, what? Because I still struggle with being not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is a consistent struggle that I have to work on all the time. Like, I still feel not good enough. And that's in all areas of my life. Mm-hmm. Like, I can sometimes not feel good enough as a sponsor, as a sponsee, mm-hmm. as a wife, as a mother, as an employee. Mm-hmm. And it's because I can, like, let that little voice get louder and louder. And if I don't keep that voice in check, it will consume my whole entire life. Mm-hmm. And it'll start in, like, one area and just, whoosh, domino effect to everything else. And it usually starts with my job because I spend the most time there. That's my current obsession. But a little bit about me. I used to, like, you know, this disease is, like, progressive. And I didn't have the best role model growing up. Right? And I definitely got some mommy issues myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. My mother was, she was a good woman, but not to me. Mm. And it's taken a lot of step work to be able to say that.
Mm. Yeah.
But she was definitely one of us. And it affected every relationship since then.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, unfortunately, my mother did pass away as a direct result of her addiction when I was right around, like, 18 years old. And I was just talking recently about it. Like, I don't mourn the person my mother was. I mourn the person she could have been, because I have seen so many women change their whole entire life because of this program, myself included. She could have done amazing things. And that's okay, though, you know, through working, like, the steps, like, I used to say some really terrible things about my mom when I spoke, regardless if they were true or not. You know, I had to, like, come to grips with, like, how do I make amends with that? I have a 14-year-old stepdaughter, and her mother is one of us, still in active addiction, still doing the thing. She pipes my daughter's dreams and hopes up and crashes them every single year. And I don't say bad words about her mother to my daughter. I really don't. Because I've been that little girl who just wants her mother to love her.
Mm-hmm.
That's all she wants.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how shitty her mom is to her, no matter how many times she cries and we support her through that, she still loves her mother. That little girl has taught me more about, like, it doesn't matter how crappy my mom was, I love her regardless. But what I do want to say is, like, because of this program and the steps, I have been able to be there for that little girl. I learned how to, like, start taking care of me and, like, learn how to be a woman. Because that is, like, a weird thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
I still sometimes refer to me, like, girl. Like, I'm a girl.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
To say woman, it feels a little awkward.
not gonna lie.
But, like, monkey see, monkey do. Right? I hate having my picture taken. That little girl hates having her picture taken. Monkey
yep.
see, monkey do. Right? So I'm trying to work on that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, she didn't like the way that she looked. And I found her, like, working out in her room one night. And I was like, what's your, like, self-talk looking like, hon? She's like, well, it's not good. I was like, then we shouldn't work out. So then I got a gym membership. We started going to the gym in the morning. Fuck that. And now this is going on. So we definitely ain't going to the gym. But, like, I was there to help show her how to shave her legs. I showed her, like, I'm the one who taught her how to tie her shoes. I'm the person that she called when she got her period, which that's a big deal.
Yeah.
She didn't understand. I remember, like, we were sitting there, bathing suits on, in the bathtub, shaving our legs. I'm crying. She's looking at me like I'm insane.
You don't understand. Nobody taught me. Great.
She still does that today. But like the only reason I'm capable of doing that is because of this program. And that's just been really heavy on my mind because like I am pregnant right now, so it's just, it's a lot of emotions. But like I didn't think about like needed like, you know, speaking or anything like that. And then the day came and then last night came and I didn't sleep. I don't know. This trying to like live up to these like crazy expectations I've put on myself of like what I need to be as a human being. They're just completely out of whack. They're generally out of sync with like reality. And if I actually like step out and I like call somebody in the program and I'm like check in with them, they're like, I think you're doing all right, friend.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you could calm the hell down. But recently there's been a lot of good things that have happened. I don't know if anybody can relate to this, but like my husband, he graduated nursing school. He's starting to work, and like I'm working on my bachelor's, and you know the kids going back to like public school, which is like a big thing. We're pregnant. We're trying to buy a house. These are all amazing things, but it's change and it's different and it's uncomfortable, and I am terrified of it all collapsing in.
Yeah.
And I have been obsessing about that. That I just wanted to work out so badly. Like I just, because I did get us into a little bit of debt. Let's not get it twisted here. So a couple of years ago, I had a miscarriage, and the way that I dealt with that pain was with swiping a credit card a whole bunch, about 10 grand, and didn't tell my husband. And I just avoided it, you know, that lie by omission. But then one day he finally asked me point blank, and I was like, fuck, I can no longer lie. And he was like, excuse me, what? And then we had another miscarriage, and I you know, kind of did the same thing. Like, we had gotten it a little bit better, and then I had built it back up again. And now here we are. And we probably do need to buy a house, but our savings are gone. So I have a little bit of guilt and shame about that. You know, and I have to, like, look at him and look at my daughter. Like, she doesn't know any of that shit. That's not for her to know. But, like, sometimes I'm like, man, maybe we would have a house if you weren't such a dumbass. But I didn't want to tell anybody in the program about that. I really didn't. Because I didn't even want to, like, I couldn't even look at myself in the mirror. I remember he asked me point blank, period, and I was going home to see my family. And I was like, well, look at it when I get home. I had the most terrible time visiting my family because all I could think about was, like, he's like, well, how much is it? And I was like, I don't know. I'm going to have to take a look at it. I knew the exact number. The whole time. Down to this penny. I didn't want to face it. I was sick. I was physically sick from lying. You know, when I do things that, you know, because of this program do not align with my morals and values, I am mentally, spiritually, physically sick as a direct result of it. And, you know, that is with, you know, 6 years clean. Again, I'm completely and totally human. Sometimes I like to think I'm Superwoman. I do. I like to be all things for all people all the time. One of the hardest like hurdles that I've gotten over is like coming back down to earth, like humbling myself and saying no. No is a complete sentence. I know that. I do. But it's hard. It's hard, especially like I have this like bleeding heart, because I think part of it really comes down to, like, I want people to say yes to me. And so I don't say no to other people very often. But if it's not logical, it's not spiritual. At least that's what I've been told. So we got to start saying no more. And just to like relate that to like Narcotics Anonymous, service work has helped me so much. I love being of service because I'm a people pleaser. And I got myself involved in service, from H&I to being at an area level to now I'm at like a regional level. That's three major commitments. So every second Sunday, third Saturday, fourth Sunday, I got some shit going on. So that means the only time my family gets to see me is the first and if there's a fifth Sunday. Because I work full time and I go to school. So the minute I get out of work after working like 10 hours a day because I overwork myself, I'm immediately getting on my home computer and working on schoolwork. So yes, I am physically there with my family, but I am not present with my family. And there is a significant difference in the pain that I feel and that I know my husband feels when he says, I need you to be present. I need you to be here, because he knows that I check the fuck out. I have to make some changes. I have to say no. I have to set boundaries with self, because ultimately, like, Narcotics Anonymous is the most important thing, but I don't need three commitments. I don't need three commitments, and that's ego. It makes me feel good to be needed. Service work can be just as ego driving as, like, you know, anything else. And god damn it, do I love what I do. I like numbers. But I am going to be taking that giant step back. Like, that's a promise that I like made to myself and to my family. I will only take one commitment, because I'm not fully stepping away from service. Right. Service keeps me right there in the middle, and I need to be there. Because honestly, because of how busy I am, I typically only get to like one or two meetings, like a week. So if I'm not like keeping myself in the middle and like being around like predecessors and like, you know, other people on a regular basis, like, I will find myself up Schitt's Creek. That voice in the back of my head that I was talking about in the beginning will get very, very, very loud. And I have the honor of being like a sponsor, and I was talking with one of them the other day, and they're like, well, I didn't even know you had all that shit going on. And I was like, that's okay. Like, you know what I mean? He's like, well, why did you tell me? I was like, A, you didn't ask. B, because when you call me, like, that gets me out of my shit. And I can't say that enough of, like, you know, you have a sponsor and you're, like, hesitant on calling them, because I'm guilty of doing that myself. My sponsor is a whole badass. Whole badass, and she's got a lot going on, too. But, like, it's me. It's me making an excuse when I say, well, the reason I'm not calling her is because, like, I don't want to be a burden or she's too busy. That is my shit, definitely not her shit. Because she will call me back at her earliest convenience. That doesn't mean she's going to answer every time. Because I sure as shit don't answer every time. I don't want to say that. I'll say it. Sometimes I look at it, I'm like, oh, God damn it. And then I answer right at the last second. Fuck! I don't want to do it. And then I do it, and then I feel better. It's the same way with H&I. That second Sunday where I'm just like, God damn it. Because, like, my H&I commitment is like an hour and a half away. So I'll be like driving. But every time I leave, I feel better. Every time I actually pick up like the phone or I call back after I've missed that call, I feel better. And I've learned to do that because you guys showed me how to do that. You told me to do that, or suggested it, should I say. Like, no one's actually like ever like told me like, you need to do this. I don't think. At least I don't think. I mean, my husband doesn't count, but like, in these rooms. Most of it has been suggestion, and then it's my choice. I remember, like, just to kind of take it back, because like, I didn't really talk about the beginning, but when I came into this program, I was different. I wanted attention. I had a lot of like attention seeking behaviors. And I built quite the reputation for myself in this program, especially in our tiny little town of John. And I was a bit of a whore. And I was that girl who got ready before the meetings and like did this like attention seeking behaviors, and the boys had, there was a men's halfway house, and there was, they had three pass days, and I loved all three of those days for different reasons. And someone said that like my face should be up in the men's halfway house. It's like, stay away, please. That's not very nice. But it was true. It was true. And I remember there was this man that I respect so much. I respect this man so much. And then I remember the one day he looked at me and he said, you know what your problem is? It's what's between your legs. And my ego, my defensiveness immediately was like, well, you're just saying that because I'm a girl. Right? Like, I have needs, too. All true. But in reality, when I went home, I couldn't look myself in the mirror. And, like, I play with this, like, duality of feelings. I feel like I can never feel one thing at one time. Like, I'm always feeling the same. I'm like, I want the attention-seeking behavior, and then I hate myself and feel disgusting for it in the same moment.
Yeah.
Like, I do it, and then I hate it.
Yeah.
And the same thing holds true with, like, today. Like, I act out on a defect with, like, my daughter. Like, she's being 14. being 14, I'm not going to share her shit, but, like, I act out and I yell or I get like upset, and then I immediately feel bad for it because like I know that like open, honest, vulnerable communication versus yelling and screaming is what the actual solution is. Again, this program taught me that. Mm-hmm. Like, how do I build relationships with people? Open, honest, vulnerable communication with anybody, even with self. Mm-hmm. And I'm the easiest person to lie to. Yeah. I lie to myself all the time. Like, you're okay. No, you're not.
Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. It is not fine. Mm-mm. You just cried yourself to sleep for the past 3 nights.
Yeah,
that's not good.
Yeah.
I say that to say that, like, I have, like evolved and I have grown. You know, and the weirdest thing for me, because I don't want to like talk about this too much, but like, so I had built that reputation for myself, and then I did start to change, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But here's the thing: that reputation was still there,
mm-hmm.
because until like truly people started seeing my actions align,
right?
There was nothing I could do. I had to actually like accept that I had built that,
mm-hmm.
and it hurt. It hurt because I remember the first time like someone like again like said it and I didn't like I wasn't doing that anymore, so he had no right to say that, but like it was because the only reason it hurt was because I still believed it.
Mm-hmm.
I still believed I should have been banned from the halfway house.
Yeah.
You know, I still believed that I was that piece of crap hoe. And I also remember the first time someone tried to say it and I didn't believe it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good feeling. Mm. That was a real good feeling. I'll live that way no more. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. And I do not live that way anymore. I think one of the hardest things that I, like, on top of, like, building a relationship with my sponsor and learning how to be vulnerable, being vulnerable in an intimate relationship with, like, a partner, oh, shit, because I do have some trauma. And I traumatized him.
Come on.
There was this one situation that happened. I won't get into the nitty-gritty details, but he was like, I'm never touching you again. I was like, don't you dare say that. Don't you dare say that. I'm fucked up. Like, don't do that. But I had to, you know what I had to realize? I had a make or break moment. I either had to get honest with him on why I responded in the manner that I did.
Yeah.
And be vulnerable and take that like leap, or that was going to be it.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had that with this man several times, because I am definitely a person who has like, yes, we are on the plan A path, but I have B, C over here, mm-hmm. and maybe Z somewhere over here. I always got a backup plan because I have been fucked over many times. So I always have like an escape plan. Well, had an escape plan. I don't have one today. I'd be kind of fucked if something happened, if I'm being honest. We rely on each other a lot now. But there was a point when that little girl his daughter came into our life, we're like, again, I had a decision to make.
Yeah.
It was no longer about him and I playing the fuck around and find out game. There was going to be this little girl involved. And I chose to stay. And I had to get, again, vulnerable with him on, like, my shit. Because her story, like, how she was, like, growing up was mine.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I looked at this little girl and it just fucking hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But that is how we've grown, right? He has his shit. I have mine. Being with another person in recovery, bless. Mm-hmm. my home group is my home group. We did have the same home group at the same time at one point. For me personally, 0 out of 10, wouldn't fucking recommend.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is mine because, like, he might feel comfortable sharing whatever he wants about me in front of me. I don't want to hear it. And I'm not.
Yeah.
I need my safe place. Mm-hmm. That is very important. Because sometimes, like, it's not about, like, just the meeting. It's about, like, I want to go to my home group, like, 30 minutes before, and I want to talk shit. Mm-hmm. I want to vent it out about you being a dick.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Go away, please.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Or after. You know, one or the other. It doesn't matter. But my home group is my safe place. My recovery is mine. He has never told me to call my sponsor, and I have never told him to call his. I ask him what step he's on, but, like, I don't be like, well, you know, you should work a step. Never done that. I will never use recovery as a weapon in my relationship. Because I can, though. Have I thought about it? Have I written some shit about that? Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. The traditions help me with that, though. So the traditions, you know, we apply that to a group. You can apply the traditions to your freaking family, your household.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right? Mm-hmm. Right? And, you know, him and I do not agree on all our parenting items. We really don't. That little girl doesn't have to know that, though.
No.
We can go have a group conscious somewhere else. She can't get on the same page, and we will never disagree with each other in front of her.
Yeah.
Except when, like, they're disagreeing, and I walk by and say, "You're both being assholes. Yeah. Go away." That happens a lot. Because they are so alike. They are so alike, it hurts. But I don't know. To say that, like, I'm a woman in Narcotics Anonymous, or that, like, you know, I've grown into being a woman, that is true most days. But there are days where, like, I still feel like that little girl. And there are days where I fall very, very short in different areas of my life. And I just got to try again tomorrow, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's all I got.
Aww.